Murmurs of Earth by Michael Deacon, Jamie Middleton, and Chris Raitt.
There, look at that,
announced the Doctor. From the flourish with which he'd operated the TARDIS's scanner control, Perry could see she was supposed to be impressed.
A rock,
she said grumpily,
in the dark. Congratulations, Doctor, you found the dullest place in the universe. Look again,
said the Doctor theatrically.
Let your eyes adjust to the darkness. All right, but you're paying my optometrist.
She peered forwards, shielding her eyes from the white light of the control room. Slowly, she began to see dark shapes moving gently through the sky like sea creatures. It was like a stately dance of countless lumps spinning in the gloom.
Okay, lots of rocks,
she admitted.
Where is this?
The Oort cloud,
replied the Doctor proudly.
A massive field of comets orbiting your sun at a distance of 30 trillion kilometers. Well, they don't look like comets. Where are their, thingies?
The Doctor's face contorted as if stung by her ignorance.
Thingies? Comets don't develop tails until they approach the solar wind. I didn't ask for a science lesson. My head's killing me today.
But anything was better than one of his sulks. Perry forced brightness into her voice and asked,
Well, what's so special about them? This is the extreme edge of the solar system. Pluto is 20 trillion kilometers away, and I can guarantee no human has ever seen the cloud as close as this.
Perry blinked.
I'm the first? Really?
Of course, the Doctor said, moving back to the console and fiddling with one of the monitors.
Now let's see, the nearest sign of life is...
Oh. The triumphant smile faded from his face.
80 kilometers away. Well, that's quite near, right?
Asked Perry, switching off the scanner.
It can't be right,
the Doctor protested, staring at the console readouts for some kind of anomaly.
We're right on the periphery of the solar system.
There shouldn't be anything here, let alone breathable air.
It's only 2199. There won't even be a robot survey for another 100 years.
A sly smile slowly spread across his face.
Well, we can't ignore a mystery. Let's go and have a look, shall we?
Before Perry could argue, the grinding, rending noise of the engines filled the air for a few moments before winding down again. 80 kilometers had just flown by. The Doctor bounded across the doors, giving Perry a knowing wink as he plunged outside. She rolled her eyes and massaged her aching head, unable to share his enthusiasm. Still muttering, she stepped out after him, unexcited by the prospect of a trek across some godforsaken rock in the middle of galactic nowhere. All of which failed to prepare her for the scene beyond the TARDIS doors. Lush foliage stretched away in all directions. The air was strangely fragrant, and the gentle sound of running water mixed with a rustling breeze amongst the treetops. The Doctor wandered a few paces ahead of her, looking happily intrigued.
Well, this is impossible,
said the Doctor, as if savouring a rare fine wine.
This ball of rock really shouldn't have enough mass to stop us from floating away. Were you not worried about the artificial dome, the trees, grass and everything then?
He waved a hand dismissively.
Merely very convincing holograms. It's like Hawaii, but in space,
mused Perry.
And with naked people.
The Doctor span about. A man and woman had stepped from behind a tree holding hands. They were both naked. But the Doctor couldn't take his eyes off their broad smiles and shining eyes. Perry dug him in the ribs as they approached.
Suddenly I feel like you must do all the time,
she hissed.
Overdressed.
The Doctor shot her a withering look before turning to the newcomers.
Greetings, I am known as the Doctor.
Welcome, creatures from beyond the outer world,
said the woman. She looked utterly serene and composed, which impressed Perry, given the circumstances.
May all be well,
the man added. equally smoothly.
We in this world send you our goodwill.
Very decent of you,
grinned the Doctor.
Isn't it, Perry?
But even as he spoke, something hot and bright suddenly span into existence between the two of them. Perry was caught behind a shimmering curtain of fierce blue light, her eyes wide in fear, desperately gasping exhortations to free her that the Doctor could not hear.
What's this?
He cried, his voice hoarse with alarm, his hand plunging for his pocket. The naked people continued to smile pleasantly, oblivious to the sudden drama. The Doctor waved a bleeping gizmo up and down the force field to no effect.
We've done you no harm. Let her go.
Then a voice came, seemingly from the sky, metallic and harsh.
Aberration detected!
It boomed. There was a zap of energy and a wisp of smoke. The force field vanished, and with it went Perry. The strange voice spoke again.
Aberration removed!
Where is she?
The Doctor demanded, staring up at the curve of the dome. The people around him still smiled.
Stay calm, Perry. I'll find you.
He whirled around and grabbed the man by his bare shoulders.
Tell me where she is.
Good health to you now and forever,
he said warmly.
That's not particularly helpful.
The Doctor gazed into the man's dilated pupils, looking for signs of hypnosis or brainwashing. More naked people emerged from the trees. The same naked people. Multiple, identical sets of the same man and woman, all smiling broadly and holding hands, all eager to greet him.
To all those who exist in the universe, greetings,
they said.
Greetings to you, whoever you are. We come in friendship to those who are friends.
Ah, said the Doctor.
I see. You do know that none of you are real, don't you?
If Perry hadn't felt ill before, she really did now. Matter transportation was uncomfortable at the best of times, but doing it with a headache was truly awful. Now, the headache was the least of her problems. She sat, blinking and desperate for fresh air, on the cold floor of a large, transparent cube inside a dark cave. Above her were many dimly pulsating lights. They seemed to be operated by a large, floating, see-through thing with tentacles. Now, whatever it was, it didn't seem to want to talk to her and soon drifted away out of sight. Well, that was fine, because she didn't want to talk to it either. She wanted to be sick in its face, if it had one. Just as she was beginning to run out of ways to be annoyed, the cave filled with the noise of deranged elephants, and the TARDIS materialised in the corner.
You took your time,
she called.
How did you find me?
Simple. I looked for the one thing in the garden that wasn't a hologram. I do have rather a talent for it. Then it was just a case of squeezing the TARDIS back along the transmat wave. Impressive, eh?
Oh, Doctor, please, just get me out of here.
The Doctor knelt down and rubbed a finger along one edge of the cube. Bonded by strong force interaction, he mused. I'll have you out in a jiffy.
Stop!
With a flurry of swirling tentacles, the translucent creature swooped up from the shadowy recesses at the back of the cave. It hovered 4 or 5 meters off the ground, its diaphanous flesh a strobing mix of colours.
Ah,
said the Doctor, getting to his feet.
I wondered how long it would take you to stick your sensory organ in.
What is that?
Asked Perry, staring at the looming monster with a mix of fear and curiosity.
I'd say a sentinel,
said the Doctor.
An organic probe sent to the edge of this system to keep an eye out for intelligent life on behalf of some alien species. Am I right?
Irrelevant,
the creature replied, its voice sounding oddly laconic, though there was no obvious mouth moving amid the snake's wedding of tentacles.
Cleansing must begin.
Cleansing?
Asked the Doctor, scowling.
I've heard that word a lot, and I've never liked it. I think it's time you let my friend out of there.
Never!
It boomed.
The aberration will be destroyed.
The cube filled with blue light. Perry gasped with pain.
Wait! Stop it!
You've made some kind of mistake. The alien ignored him. His tentacles snaked out to the lights above Perry's cell, turning them like dials. The blue light flared up. Perry cried out, sinking to the floor of the cube. It felt like something was pulling her apart, atom by atom. The doctor flailed around, desperate. The alien seemed to regard him as an irrelevant nuisance and floated far above his head. There was almost nothing in the cave beside the cube. The only adornment in the whole place was a small golden disc set into the rock wall close by. The doctor's eyes widened. "Of course," he exclaimed, whirling around to face the alien. "I bring greetings to the inhabitants of the universe from the third planet, Earth, of the star Sun." The light guttered out. The creature ceased to pulsate and hovered almost apprehensively. Perry slumped against the walls of her prison, breathing heavily. Everything hurt. A lot.
"Oh, that's better," said the doctor, looking relieved. "Now I understand, I think."
"Oh, I'm so glad. Maybe you'd like to explain it to the class?"
"Oh, Perry, never heard of Voyager? Series of probes launched by NASA in the 1970s to explore the outer planets. Well, Voyagers 1 and 2 carried gold discs, just like this. I knew I recognized it. Oh, dear old Carl Sagan was in charge of this one. These discs were amazing things, containing greetings from Earth, as well as sounds and images and other details. A rare, noble enterprise for humanity." The doctor turned to look at the alien. He had a shrewd look on his face. "So, you got hold of this one, eh? I think you've got some explaining to do." The creature illuminated the cave with radial pulses of lilac. Perry might have imagined it, but its tentacles seemed to droop a bit.
"Such an agony of isolation," it moaned.
"Beyond the light warmth of the collective for so long. Then, at last, the brain waves were retrieved and comprehended. Such salutations, a new collective. The waves were manipulated into matter, the matter shaped into light warmth. A new collective."
"It was homesick and made its own humans?"
asked Perry.
"So what's it got against me? I'm human. Real, not like those acid casualties out there."
The creature flashed magenta.
"The aberration must be destroyed."
"Wait! Greetings from Earth!"
"Yes?"
shouted the doctor, raising his hands. "Perry, don't whine. It doesn't like your negative emotions. That's the problem." He addressed the creature again.
"You only had the disc's information. That's why your creations all look the same. You only had one image to work from. That's why they speak like that. Those are the only words you could give them, greetings from Earth. And those brain waves you mentioned? Well, I can tell you about them because I was there. They were recorded from the brain of the future Mrs. Carl Sagan, just after the two of them had become engaged. She was a wonderful woman. And what could be more human than her feelings of affection and bliss? She was so totally in love." "Hey, I'm more human than some brain waves,"
Perry retorted, slapping her hands against the cube walls.
"I am a real human."
"Yes, you are," answered the doctor, warming to his theme. "You're angry, stressed, and tired. And that's human too. In fact, I suspect that our friend here knows you're human." He looked up at the alien again. "Don't you, old chap, And that's why she's worrying you. Well, you've completely overlooked me, a Time Lord no less, because I'm too different. But she's close enough to the information on the disc to scare you. Am I right?" The alien said nothing, but colours cycled rapidly across its flesh. It looked for all the world like it was involved in some furious introspection.
"It's not a crime to be lonely," continued the doctor. "But scan my friend. You know she's not an image, not a song, not a greeting. She can be unappreciative, even exasperating. But she's also marvelous and a real human being. Let her out, and then we'll leave you and your friends in peace. Yes?
Perry held her breath. And then the cube filled with a pink light. It didn't hurt this time. A hole in the cave wall appeared. There were waving green fronds beyond. After a few moments, the creature's humans marched in.
What are you doing now?
Asked the doctor.
I told you to let her go.
There is new data,
the alien boomed.
The data will be used.
Wait, I'm not sure that's such a good idea.
The men and women were suddenly bathed in swirling coloured light.
What now?
Asked Perry, clambering painfully to her feet within the cube. She was starting to get worried again.
It's reprogramming them using your brainwaves, the doctor cried.
As the alien hovered protectively towards its proto-human creations, he ran over and began to work on the cell's joints with one of his gadgets.
What's so bad about that?
The light died. The proto-humans blinked and stared warily at each other. The women shifted uncomfortably. One man folded his arms, another pressed his hands to his head. There was even some jostling.
Come on,
urged the doctor as the cube clicked open.
Time we were off.
He grabbed Perry and pulled her from the prison. Together they bundled through the TARDIS doors. Looking back, she could see the humans. Some were arguing with each other. Others seemed to be haranguing the alien. Some were crying, and others were just sullenly holding their heads. The alien floated above it all, looking startled and impotent.
There goes paradise,
the doctor muttered, closing the TARDIS doors behind him. Perry massaged her temples again.
Uh-huh. Now I feel even worse,
she groaned.
They were all happy, and then they got a dose of me, and it ruined everything.
Oh, I don't know, the doctor replied, his hands dancing over the dematerialization controls.
Those new emotions and thoughts are a shock to the system, but they'll cope and adapt as humans do. Did they even know they were happy before? They didn't have anything to compare it with. And our alien friend still has their company. Well, it can even switch them back if it wants to, but I don't think it will. I think you've done them all a favour.
Said Perry thoughtfully, still shaken from her near disintegration.
Maybe you're right. Hey,
she added with forced brightness,
I guess sometimes love isn't all you need.
Do you know, mused the doctor, not looking up,
that's just what I said to John Lennon.
Perry's scowl returned.
More name-dropping, she said. I'm going for a bath.